Pull up a chair, the stories begin. Patrick and Randy are letting you in. From the desert lights where the big names are, it's Big Conversations, Little Bar.
Welcome to Big Conversations, Little Bar, the Coachella Valley's favorite podcast, recorded live at Skip Page's Little Bar in Palm Desert. Get ready for another fascinating hour of meeting people who make the desert city such a spectacular place to be. Now, nestled in their corner booth perch, well lubricated and raring to chat, here's Patrick Evans and Randy Florence.
Thank you very much. We are here at the corner booth of Skip Page's Little Bar, the coveted corner booth. I'm Patrick Evans. You're listening to Big Conversations, Little Bar. I'm here with my spiritual guru, my former life coach, my very best friend, except for a couple of other people who are in line in front of you, Mr. Randy Florence.
As of right now, they're not here.
They are not here. You are number
currently.
One.
I thought you gave up that spiritual guru thing.
No, I fired him as my life coach.
Oh, okay.
But he kept him as spiritual guru.
Because that's the one that didn't pay.
Yeah. Was
the life coach
life
thing
coach?
Actually came with a
was
check.
That really?
Yes. And by the way,
I have to talk to my accountant about that.
One of
that
the lessons you were supposed to learn.
You owe us a lot of money, actually.
Well, I'm so glad to be here. Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
How are
me
you,
again.
Randy?
I'm good. Hey.
Yeah. Everything's good?
You know, I've had a problem with Hollywood for years.
They stopped calling?
I've questioned credibility. No, they never called.
Oh.
But I've questioned credibility, and I think most people would agree with me that Caddyshack not being nominated for Best Picture has really damaged my thoughts about every picture that's been nominated for Best Picture
since. It was
since.
Deserving.
So there's one more shot at it now.
Yeah.
Have you seen Happy Gilmore 2?
No.
Oh, God. If it's not nominated for everything.
Is it so good?
It's so good.
Is it as good as the original?
It's better than the original.
Better than the source material?
It's better than the source material.
I can't believe that because the fight scene with Bob Barker alone puts Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I mean, that's a Hall of Famer
that
moment.
That was pretty good. But in this one, they dig him up.
The price is wrong, bitch. I mean, that's...
They dig him up. His arms are going like this.
No.
But it was really, really, because it would have been so easy to just be so bad. And it just wasn't. There were a couple
it's
of professional golfers.
It's streaming on Netflix,
golfers.
Isn't it?
It is.
Okay. I'm going to have to watch it.
But
I'm,
they should make a special dispensation for it to be nominated for Best Picture Academy Award.
I think Netflix movies can be nominated.
Can mm-hmm. they? If they weren't on the in the theater, well, good. Then what are we talking about? It's a done deal.
It doesn't need a special.
No, there's been a number of streaming creators or studios that have actually been nominated or won Oscars and Emmys and so on.
Well, I'm pushing for Shooter McGavin. Shooter McGavin All right. needs a special award. And you know
Chris McDonald.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who it was, of course, Shooter McGavin.
Yeah.
But he was in one of the most incredible episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation. He played Lieutenant Castillo in Yesterday's Enterprise, and he was phenomenal, and he loved doing the part.
Really?
Yeah.
We so you like him. So yeah, you'd be okay with him being nominated for... an Academy Award
100%
for this.
And he's a handsome guy. Those steely blue eyes, I mean, you know, you just get lost in them.
So there's a tie-in to all of this.
Is there a tie-in? Good.
With our guest. 1961. Superman issue number whatever in 1961 is the issue where Jimmy Olsen is now the editor of the Daily Planet.
Wow.
And in that episode, Jimmy gets married. The person that he marries is...
I'm on the edge of my seat.
The daughter of Superman.
Superman's daughter.
And Lois Lane. Guess what her name is? The daughter.
Lola.
And guess what her last name is?
Well, it has to be Kent.
It is Kent. Lola Kent. Were you named after Lola Kent?
No.
Oh, okay. Well wait, that would have been a much more interesting episode.
Now that's our guest, Lola Kent. Welcome, Lola.
Welcome,
Thank
Lola.
Thank you for having me,
But
Patrick.
I have a quick question. Didn't her last name then become Olson because she married Jimmy Olson? She went from Lola Kent to Lola Olson?
You're so old-fashioned. Is that
Jimmy
a requirement?
Olson was on this show.
Oh, it's not a requirement. My wife didn't take my last name, and for good reason.
And mine didn't either for the first couple of years.
she Googled me first.
There's so many degrees of separation like that we don't have because Jimmy Olson was on this show.
Jimmy Olson was.
Exactly
on
right.
This show.
Wow.
The actual Jimmy Olsen from the 1978
Here's
Richard
the other
Donner
tie-in.
Superman film. I don't
really?
Love
it.
You both hated the new Superman movie.
Absolutely hated it.
I loved
hated
it.
You
I
are nuts.
Absolutely loved
the longest,
they ruined the legacy.
They did.
They did.
No, they. I usually do not swear on television or my podcast, but I am going to say they shat upon... Ma and Pa Kent.
Yes!
And on Jor-El and his wife, whose name I forget.
Yes.
But anyway, Lola Kent, that's the longest, most circuitous roundabout way to get to our
Hello,
guest.
Randy
Welcome.
And Patrick. Thank you for having me here.
And I feel like this is one of those episodes where I'm just going to kick back and enjoy my beer because you two have known each other. For how long have you had this relationship?
Oh, my goodness.
Full disclosure.
You have a business relationship.
We have
do.
A business
you
relationship.
You have made millions of dollars off of working with Lola
No,
Kent.
I've actually never made a dime. And if anybody ever asks, it's important for you to remember that.
Oh, yes, is that right? Is this undeclared
never,
income?
Yes. Lola Kent, who is the... planner,
wedding?
Event planner, and wedding planner to the stars. And here's
oh
the cool
God.
Thing.
Extraordinaire.
You don't have to be a star
no.
when you start working with her, because as soon as you do, you're going to start feeling like a star.
Oh, you're so sweet, Randy.
Well,
thank you.
Isn't I will,
that a song
I will
too?
Say it. What?
Isn't that a song, too?
You don't have to be a star, baby.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to be a star,
I remember when
baby.
Gary keeps saying that.
We
Let's
should probably talk
Gary
to our
Man
guest at this point.
Followed.
Let's talk to Lola.
Lola, first of all,
yes,
I'm going to make a confession.
Yes,
I made a mistake when I got married.
Oh,
we didn't
really?
Use you.
Oh.
And we should have.
Well,
because
either marriage.
Well, first marriage, I'm glad. That's fine. That was fine. That was okay.
I didn't use her on mine either.
My first wife was too busy inspecting the rest of the groomsmen to... be involved.
Oh.
Was not,
oh,
but it's a whole different story. It's
okay.
a long story.
Next episode.
Next episode.
It's, so, at any rate, you and Randy.
Yes.
Randy is a well-known officiant.
Yes.
He's performed some of the finest marriages that I've ever been to.
Yes.
I've seen him marry people that didn't like each other and they were in love right after the ceremony. That's how good he is.
That's true.
We've been doing this for a long time. What, 12 years now?
I think October 31st will be our... 12th
year.
Anniversary.
Wow.
Wow.
We got to do something special.
How many right. weddings have you guys done together?
You know what?
Do you have a number?
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
I know it's over 60.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Over 60 weddings.
Should we tell them how we met?
We should. Go ahead.
So I was hired to do a wedding, and lo and behold, Randy was the officiant at the wedding, but he was doing it as he was their friend, and he was there to do it as, you know, as a friend to them. And
just doing it as a favor.
As a favor, yes. And
did you charge him?
Yeah, I wasn't getting paid at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So here I am.
To everybody
listening.
Who I did charge later. Well, none of them are listening. Never mind.
So I'm sitting there listening to, you know, the ceremony, and I'm like, just so engaged, and I'm like, I've never heard anybody do a ceremony like this. I'm like, this guy's brilliant. I gotta have him. I need to Aww. Hire him. I need to have him on my team. You gotta do weddings for me. And that's exactly what I said to you.
Yeah.
I said, what do you think about coming and doing weddings with me?
And then she said, how much do you charge? And I said, well, I don't charge. And she goes, oh, yes, you do. If you're going to be one of my vendors, you charge.
Yes.
The single best compliment that I've had is Lola telling me that when she gets married,
yes,
I'm going to be her officiant.
He is.
Aww.
Mm-hmm.
It started out as her husband, and then I introduced her to Kay, so now I'll be the officiant.
No, I tell all my clients, you know, I'm not married yet, but when I do get married, he is the person that I would want to marry me.
All right.
Does Kay know that you're going to be getting married again?
No,
married.
But she's looking forward to it.
Oh,
she's, yeah, she's actually supporting the whole thing.
Oh my gosh!
Well, and she likes Lola, so that would work out.
It works out. You guys can remain friends. All right. We are going to focus on you in just a moment, but I want you to tell me.
Yes.
And you kind of touched on it, but you use Randy on a pretty regular basis. Mm-hmm. What makes him your go-to officiant?
It's his technique of just sitting down with the clients, listening to both of. He asks specific questions to each of them separately. They don't know what he's asking each one of them, and he writes this sermon based on those questions and kind of reveals the answers at the ceremony. So it's a very it's just really engaging, very endearing. The couple gets to learn what the other said, and the audience gets to learn more about the couple, you know, their likes, what their favorite things are. They're just whatever he is able to capture from them, you know, he puts it into his sermon, and everybody walks away from the ceremony going, oh my God, that was the best ceremony I've ever been to.
It's kind of like Big Conversations, Little Nuptials.
little Nuptials.
Yeah. We should franchise this out.
Nobody has.
I think we should get a cut of these weddings that's going on.
Nobody has littler nuptials than Randy's.
Oh, wow. You guys went someplace else on
Maybe
that
we
one.
We could start it having the ceremonies at the McCallum.
Too frequently. Ooh. Now, that would
we
be.
We could do a remote.
We could do a Oh, dear Lord.
All right.
Lola,
thank you for asking that. That was like a free plug for the last 5 minutes.
Look, I will say, like, I think one of your great qualities and one of the reasons you're such a good host on this program is you listen, which is not one of my favorite things to do. So
every time you've called me Sebastian, I understood that.
Oh, my goodness.
I called him Richard for the first several weeks.
Oh, my.
This is my friend Richard Florence. Not that good a friend. His name's Randy. Okay.
I'm just so happy to be here. I don't care.
I don't care.
No, he's a great listener.
That was.
He is.
And so, I mean, but this is just one, and it's a big, I think, maybe arguably one of the most important kind of linchpins when you're planning a wedding, and you do other things other than weddings.
Yes.
But, you know, having somebody who can put together an incredible ceremony has to be a great marketing kind of point for you.
Yes.
When there are a number of wedding planners around town.
Yes.
But I don't think I've been to a lot of weddings. Mm-hmm. Nobody does a wedding better than you.
Oh, thank That's you, true. Patrick. That's yeah, a huge true. Compliment for me. Thank you.
Well, I'm thinking, I know, well, I've been to lots of events that you've mm-hmm. put together, but obviously Blake Arthur and his wife SJ.
Yes.
You did that wedding. You did that when you guys, and that was a spectacular.
That was
it was an event.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it was just, and it felt like an event.
Yeah. It was amazing.
It was really cool. That's the first time I met you.
That is, yes, that's
oh,
right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What was unique about it? Was it soccer balls, hockey pucks?
Yes.
Yeah.
yes to all.
It was at the Ritz.
It was.
And it was outside on the lawn. And Randy did do it. I mean, like, I've known SJ. I mean, I was there when they met.
Yes.
So I've known these kids since they, you know, got together.
Mm-hmm.
But Randy pulled a lot of that out of them and wove it into the story. And also, I really appreciate you don't make it really long. Because we're all there for the open
I'm
bar.
Old. We're just there I want to make sure I'm going to get through it.
Yeah. It's like, no one wants a long ceremony. We like, you know, I want it to be meaningful and poignant and about 15 minutes because I need a cocktail.
I appreciated about you is as well recognized and as big as you are in this town, you did not bring your own camera crew as a guest to the wedding. And there was another TV person who did do that.
Yes, there was. We're not going to talk about it. Okay. I'm not going to cast aspersions.
I think I just talked about it.
Oh, my goodness. That was a very special
wedding. I mean, one of the things that I try to do is make sure that when we go to somebody's event, it's their event.
It's their event.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I know I'm a guest. I will say this, and this is a testament to you. For some reason, at the reception, they weren't serving Jack Daniels. They had other bourbons available.
Mm-hmm.
Lola, within moments of finding this out, disappeared for a couple minutes, came back with a bottle of Gentleman Jack, and she said, I'm just putting this behind the bar, and this is for you. She takes care of her clients, but she takes care of the guests too.
Yes,
which is a really
and at that moment, Patrick's thinking, if I ever have a podcast,
all right. She's in.
Lola.
Yes.
Where were you born?
I was born in Panama.
Seriously?
Yes.
On purpose?
My dad, I was in the Air Force. My mother
you don't
in
get to choose where you're born.
I know. It just kind of happened.
So your dad was in the Air Force?
Dad was in the Air Force. Met my mother in Panama. They got married and had me, and I was born in Panama.
How long were you there?
Until I was about four. Hmm? So Spanish is my first language, believe it or not. So I speak fluent Spanish.
Yep.
Came here to the States. And
where'd you go from there?
So we came, we lived in Huntington Beach first and then moved on to Cerritos and then to Long Beach. So kind of
it was all the traveling because your dad was in the service?
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, my grandparents, you know, bought a house in the desert. They lived in Orange County. And how I started coming to the desert was when I was about 13. They bought a house over at Chaparral Country Club. And every summer we'd come and for holidays. And that's how I learned about the desert.
So when did you come to the desert full time?
Oh, 2012.
Right after me. Mm-hmm. So it was meant that we were going to meet each other.
She followed you here.
And okay. I moved here from New York.
What were you doing in New York?
All right.
I lived in New York for 5 years. I worked for Morton Steakhouse doing sales and marketing.
Oh, wow.
Traveling for them, opening up all the new restaurants.
Is that what took you to New York?
Mm-hmm. I opened up the new restaurant in Brooklyn, New York, opened it, and then left. My grandmother was very ill here, so I was kind of flying back and forth. And, you know, unfortunately, when she passed, I was just tired of the rat race, so I just said, I'm done, and I moved here to the desert.
So how did you get into event and wedding planning?
So it started in Brooklyn, believe it or not. So the Mortons, where we were located, we were directly across the street from the Supreme Court. So people always went to the courthouse to get married, get licensed, all that, and they would come over to the restaurant and either, you know, plan a little dinner. But then it started becoming, they started buying the restaurant out for weddings. So Morton's is known as a steakhouse.
Yeah.
We do rehearsal dinners, that type of stuff. But that restaurant, for some reason, became the wedding.
Wedding Central.
The little wedding central that I created there. So I created a, you know, a wedding show out there. We had a fashion show. We did lots of wedding charities that we supported. And I did a numerous amount of weddings. So that's where the wedding stuff came from.
Didn't you do some sort of a cook-off between...
I did.
Yeah, what was that?
So that was the cook-off between the New York Fire Department and NYPD.
Wow.
Which was really great. We did it on our plaza there where our Morton's was located. And they competed against each other. So we gave them all the, you know, food, steaks, shrimp, fish, everything. And they made an appetizer. They created a salad. They created a, you know, a steak. And I invited judges, celebrity judges, to come and judge the event. And we raised money for the food bank, New York Food Bank. And it was they wrote us up in the, the Wall Street Journal.
Wow.
So it was very...
Did the fire department win?
Believe it or not, the New York Police Department did.
Really? Because the fire department usually
expects some good barbecue.
Exactly.
Huh?
Well, they usually are the cooks.
Yes.
Like, they're doing more cooking at the fire.
Because that's what they're doing. When they're,
yeah.
But they won this actual event.
But the police are armed, so...
You pretty much knew they were going to win.
I could probably vote that direction.
It was really an amazing event. Well, I would love to do one here.
You
in
should
the desert.
Do that here.
I think that'd be a great idea.
Museum.
We've had Chief Mills from the Palm Springs Police Department.
Yes.
I know he'd be down for something like that.
So I would love to get, you know, the fire department out here. Maybe all the agencies, sheriffs, CHP.
Let's do it.
And just like create a big competition.
Say we do a remote. Wherever that gets held, I say we move.
Well, there's a kitchen here, so we could actually make that happen here. I bet Skip would be into that.
I'm sure he probably would. Was that your first foray into something really big like that as an event?
No, we did lots of different events in New York. I did the Burger Bash with Rachel Ray.
Really?
Yes.
What was she like?
She's amazing.
My wife loves her.
She was amazing. Met Bobby Flay. He actually grilled burgers next to us. We were all grilling burgers at the Burger
Bash. Were they good?
Yes.
They're pretty tasty?
Yes.
Okay.
And my wife loves him.
And he makes really good milkshakes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And what else have we done? We've done all kinds of stuff out there. So that really just, I worked with the Major League Baseball. We did a lot of dinners for them. The NFL, NBA.
She did a dinner there, and it was considered a home run.
No, but I worked with all those different organizations. It was really great. We created a lot of partnerships.
That's incredible experience then to come out to the desert, because you have done some very high-profile events out here.
Yes.
When you were in college, you majored in speech, communication, and you were on the debate team?
I was.
How has that helped you in your career? I mean, I've heard you debate, but... Well, I've heard one side of a debate.
Well, you know, they say never argue with a Latina. So, just kidding.
Okay.
No, I think, you know, it really helped me to, you know, just be able to listen and communicate with people. And I always say in my business, we're all about solutions. There's a solution to everything. And you just got to find the solution.
How difficult are some of the, and I'm asking this question from personal experience. We did our wedding in Palm Springs at a home that's one of the rental places.
Okay.
And there are really very stringent rules.
Yes.
And one of the things that we were not aware of until very late in the game, unfortunately, was that everybody has to be off property by 10 p.m.
Yes.
So you have to have a place, a separate place for them to go, which we did not, we didn't know. And so it's kind of, I mean, our wedding is sort of a half disaster story because we didn't use you.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's not your fault. It's our fault.
What better advertisement for her business?
Yeah, no, we should have used you. So that must be difficult because you're navigating, you know, some very, very strict regulations.
So when... You know, I meet a client and they start telling me about the things that they're looking for. You know, I'm going to give you a really good example with, you know, a similar situation of a house that people go to rent. It's very popular. And as you get to know your clients, you know what they like, what they're looking for, their personalities. You know, some people really like to, you know, go till 12 o'clock at night and enjoy and be able to, you know, celebrate. And some of these properties are not designed for that. So I'm never going to take a client to a place like that, like knowing that you may see it online. It may look beautiful. Oh, this will look great in my photos. But logistically, it does not work for you. So I took them to another property where the owner of the property was very easy to work with, very flexible, you know. They didn't kick people out at 10 o'clock. They were allowed to stay. As long as they came inside, we kept the noise down, whatnot. It's just finding what's right for your client is the main thing. And that, you know, probably should have been, you know, told to you.
Yes.
So you could, you know, make that decision whether this is the right venue for you.
But who's up after 9 o'clock at night in this town?
I am.
You don't live in this town.
That's why I officiate. Because I'm done and I'm out of there.
You live in La Quinta where you can go to bed at 9
That's
o'clock.
That's true. Well, I have an hour and a half drive home.
That's
so.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
He has to leave by 7.
That's right.
Because he's got to be home by sunset.
Exactly.
But that, you know, so obviously you have a stable of facilities that you would use.
Yes.
And then you work with them all the time. I know they're like really fun, interesting old celebrity homes in Palm Springs, but they're interesting places throughout the desert.
Oh, there's so many.
What are some of your favorites?
Well, the Air Museum is one.
Yeah, that's
It's just a great. I mean, no one ever thinks that they're going to get married in an Air Museum, and what you can create there, the things that we can do to make it not look like an airplane hangar, is, you know, the sky's the limit.
What you did at the reception hall or whatever, the hangar for the last wedding we were at. That was just unbelievable. It was magical when you walked through those curtains.
That's what we want. You know, we recently just did a huge event. It was a 60th birthday party, a retirement for a gentleman who makes rockets. And we kind of called it, like, can't really say, we called it Normcella. We're not supposed to use cella. But it was probably one of the most amazing events that we've, you know, done here in the desert. I mean, the sky was the limit here. I mean, we...
Literally, because he's a rocket guy. He's I got that.
But, you know, just an amazing person. But he was just so floored by, you know, everything that we did, everything that he wanted. It was then that and then some. And all his guests that came, you know, they all came dressed in white. They arrived. They didn't know what was happening. We took them to the first hangar, and we had the stealth bomber in there. And so,
they
you know, really cool.
Nobody could actually see it.
You can't see it. But yeah.
Well, we wanted to make it like, you know, they were going on a trip. Like, okay, we're at the airport.
Yeah.
You're going on a trip. Yeah. So they came in, and then for cocktail hour, they're in the first hangar. We've got the stealth bomber in there. We've got music, lighting, all kinds of crazy fun stuff. Then we open the doors, and he arrives in the C-47, pulls right up to the hangar, is escorted in by two airline stewardesses with their hats and everything, comes right in, close the doors. Then when it's time to go to the next hangar, the doors open. Tall women on stilts, all dressed in white and feathers and whatnot, that escorted everybody into the next hangar, where he wanted this to feel like he was at in Saint-Tropez at Nikki's Beach. He says, "Lola, I want a white party in the desert as if I were in Saint-Tropez at Nikki's Beach." I said, "No problem."
Wow.
So we brought in, we made it Norm's Beach, Normie's Beach. We also... plants hanging from everywhere. We had the, I don't know if you've ever heard of the band Common Kings, which is The Rock's favorite band. They performed.
Really?
Yes. We also had David Bryan of Bon Jovi perform.
Holy cow.
I forgot the gentleman. I can't remember his name at the moment, but he's from Supertramp. He played as well. I mean, it was a star-studded event.
Good gracious. It was quite the budget you had to work with there, I imagine.
I did, but it was a magical. Everybody walked in and they just went, oh.
That's incredible. Well, I don't know if you noticed, but, you know, the guy made rockets and his party happened in stages. That's how that works.
But it was an amazing, amazing party.
Oh, they can see me shaking my head.
They can, now. Yes.
Now this is video. I remember when they couldn't see that.
Oh, my goodness.
They could also see the eye roll.
So when did you, you were doing all this stuff at Morton's back in New York. Did you do your first weddings back there?
Yes.
How did you branch off into that?
So when I came here to the desert, I said, you know, I'm going to start my own event and weddings. And I said, well, I need to start someplace here in the desert. So I actually ended up, I took a job at the Embassy Suites in La Quinta as their catering director. And I used to sell weddings. They had two ballrooms, and I sold them out every weekend because I could speak Spanish. They did weddings, quinceañeras, nonstop out there. And after 2 years, I was like,
can't do this anymore.
Because I was doing...
I've had enough of love.
No, it's not that. It's just that, you know, I was trying to create my business as well. You know, I got to know a lot of the business people here in town.
Well, and I've seen what you put into these events. I mean, I've watched you have to recover for several days after some of them.
Yeah. It takes a lot of work, a lot of planning. It's all in the planning, really, all the details.
Where did that part start, where you were, you had a vision of, you know, putting people on stilts and walking them through. Where did this all come from?
Well, you know, we are a generation of, you know, people love entertainment, and, you know, weddings have always been, you just have, you know, you have the ceremony, the cocktail hour, dinner, and dancing. people are really into like bringing new ideas and new things and, you know, adding something different to their wedding.
We didn't have anybody on stilts at our wedding.
No.
No. It was one of my great disappointments. I was really... We did have an accordion player, though. That was kind of cool.
If he'd been on stilts, that would have been really
awesome.
That
would have been way better. Obviously, there's so many other things that happen here in the desert than just weddings.
Yes.
And you just talked about, you know, this retirement / birthday party. What are some of the other unusual events that you have had to plan, like were sort of maybe out of the realm of what you thought you would be doing?
Well, I did the Porsche dealership opening. I did the Bentley dealership opening. I did a lot of the Indigo, all, you know, the dealership.
Yeah, I've been to those parties. Those are fun parties.
Yes, so I used to do those. I have worked with the tribe in opening up the cultural center, doing that, some of their events for the tribe.
You did the Richard Milanovich.
I did.
The event.
Yeah.
His wedding. And you officiated
well,
it.
Well, that was Reed. About the 5K event.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so we did that as well. Let's see. Some fun things that I'm doing now that I'm really excited about is I'm working with some of the alcohol distributors.
And they're some of my favorite people.
They are. They are mine, too. So we share that in common. So they are hiring me to do events for them. So a really exciting project that's coming up that I'm really, really excited about is it's not going to be in the desert. It's going to be in San Marcos. But we are doing a 2-week pop-up speakeasy for Wicked 2.
Ooh. Wow, really? Yes.
What's that going to look like?
So I get to design
it. Well, it's Wizard of Oz sort of thing. The pop-up's going to look like.
So Michael Jackson's in it.
Yes, he is. Yeah. No, it's not the Wiz.
Not the Wiz. Wicked. You know, your girlfriend, Ariana Grande.
Yes. Everybody on that show was my girlfriend.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we're doing that in November. It's going to be very exciting.
So how did that come about?
I'm working with the various reps within one of the distributors.
Right.
You can name the names.
Pernod Ricard. So doing this event. So one of the reps that works out of San Diego in Orange County, I've been doing events out there for her when she needs. And this one came up. She says, oh, you're going to be so excited about this one. So I love the fact that I get to design and create and make things, you know, come to life. So.
Where do you go for your ideas? Where, like, what's the well of creativity that you turn to find, like, these new, fresh things to do?
So, you know, really just watching the movie, taking out different bits and pieces and pictures of stuff that we can kind of recreate and design to emulate that.
Will there be flying monkeys?
Yes.
That's outstanding.
That's what I'm so excited about.
Oh, that is so good.
The flying
real
monkeys.
Ones.
Real ones. That's good.
That they're training them now.
We're going to have a
put the living
side.
Desert training them right
training
now.
The monkeys now.
We're going to have like a, you know, pink side and the green and dark side.
Oh, that sounds so cool.
Yeah, and the flying monkeys.
Now, Randy, I know is your go-to wedding officiant, but if you ever need an MC, not an officiant.
Yes.
I have done that on occasion, and I know. I don't love it. I don't love it. Okay. And I don't do the kind of research he does.
Like, he'll,
you're a really good MC.
He'll know what the event is.
I'm like, we're here with, it's Steve, right?
Oh
just
God.
Hand them the mic.
And you are.
Let me know when you're done.
And you are. But no, for emceeing, if you ever need something,
yes,
let me know. I'm available.
Perfect.
Especially if it's for one of those alcohol distributors.
Yes. Especially if it's whiskey, right?
Yes. If it's whiskey, that's I'm 100% in.
Or bourbon.
How many weddings a year would you say you do?
Oh. I'm going to say maybe 40.
That's a lot of weddings.
It's a lot of weddings.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are some of your favorite venues to use?
The Parker.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Parker, the Ritz, the Air Museum. There's a really great venue in Bermuda Dunes, Venue 10. It's kind of new on the scene, but absolutely fantastic. Like it's a really great hidden secret here.
Really? Okay.
Oh, my God. It's absolutely stunning.
Where is it?
In Bermuda Dunes, right off of Washington and
48th?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
It's two houses. They have a huge event center, beautiful area to do, to get married. It's absolutely stunning.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Lots of great, there's so many great
That's
venues.
Kind of one thing about this area.
Yes.
And I've told people that every venue is pretty cool here.
Yes. I always encourage, as you know, Patrick, with our weather, for me, it's very important that we have an indoor-outdoor venue. You've got to have a place, especially with, you know, winds and
right
fun stuff. That
you
we,
need to have an alternative in case of the weather on that
to
day.
We have a backup plan. Very important.
The wedding that Lola and I met at, we had practically had a haboob in the middle of it.
Centerpieces were flying.
Oh, my goodness.
They were this tall, like literally flying off the tables.
Well, we were talking about you had one wedding where 100-plus guests, including the groom and the bride, got sick.
Yes.
What are some of the other, and you can talk a little bit about it if you want to.
Wedding they disasters.
Now, that was because someone flew in.
Yes.
And got everybody sick with norovirus.
Yes.
It didn't happen here.
It wasn't because of food or anything.
No, it was a carrier.
Like it was
brought
an airborne
in.
Illness yeah. that everybody got at the wedding, which was very traumatic. I just never experienced anything like that.
It almost interrupted my meal.
Do you get? Are you guaranteed a meal? Like when you? When
no, we'll, no. This particular one. I mean, I get to know the couples pretty well.
Most of the couples that we work with, they always invite Randy to come to the reception. It's so nice.
But that's usually because I've introduced them to Kay.
Yes.
And once they meet Kay.
No, but Kay, they love Kay, and they love you.
It's got to be written into your contract. You should be guaranteed both meals, the rehearsal and the reception.
I'm kind of happy just going home right after everything.
But no, Patrick,
I don't want to get norovirus.
I know. But we've had some challenging events that...
All right, other than weather and norovirus, like what else?
Well, the weather will take an event down in 2.5 seconds, yeah. Which has happened to me.
Oh, so you had one like within the last few months that...
Well, we had one a few years ago that after that event, I said, okay, no more outdoor events for me. I'm just going to stick to indoor-outdoor. There's got to be a backup plan.
What happened? It was a wind thing?
So everybody arrived, getting ready for the ceremony. Everything's set up, the reception set up. Everything's outside, and it is at an estate here in the desert. And out of nowhere, you know, our phones went off. There's a haboob. There's going to be 70-mile-per-hour winds. And literally, it took down everything.
What month was this in?
February.
In February?
I know.
Wow.
Yes.
That's really unusual.
I mean, the ceremony, the cocktail hour, the DJ equipment went flying. People, the tops of the heaters were like guillotines, like flying saucers ready to decapitate people. That's how bad this wedding was.
Wait, you weren't tuned into KESQ News Channel 3 for the weather forecast?
Unfortunately, she'd been listening to KMIR the day before.
That's what happened.
They didn't talk about it at all.
It was a beautiful day. It came out of no... I'm not kidding you when I say it was a beautiful day. There was no rain in the forecast. All of a sudden, the wind, and it was a haboob. Like, the sand came through. I had to put everybody in the house.
Was it a Saturday event?
No. It was actually a Thursday at event.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Wow. Usually, you don't let the haboobs come through here on the weekdays.
No.
You require them to hit on the weekends when you're out of town.
Chamber of Commerce. Scott White has a very strong policy about that.
He does.
Really does.
And by the way, we figured out if you ever see Patrick leave town for more than 2 days,
yes,
shit's about to hit the fan weather-wise.
You should also take time off.
Yeah, you should leave town.
Yeah. That happens.
Note that.
This. If I'm on vacation, you should be on vacation,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly.
So when you're doing these, obviously, weather is a huge factor.
Yes.
What are some of the... I mean, you deal with all kinds of vendors. Randy, obviously, easy to deal with.
Yes.
He doesn't even demand a meal. Dude, I'm going to work on your rider. But you got to deal with either... You mentioned DJ.
Mm-hmm.
You got the
bands.
Bartenders, bands, entertainment. So you have to coordinate...
Everything.
All of that.
All of it. A lot of people, you know, couples don't understand, you know, if I hire a photographer, they have one job, is to take pictures for the event. You know, as a planner, I'm responsible to make sure all the vendors arrive, check in, do the job that they're doing, you know, setting up where they're supposed to be setting up, doing everything that they're contracted to do. And, you know, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of planning, and there's a lot of moving parts that happen with, you know, these types of events. And it's really all about communication, because if you don't communicate, you know, one thing goes down, forget it.
Well, it's about something else, too, and this is something I'm always impressed with Lola. Somebody has to take charge and make sure that things are supposed to be happening when they're supposed to be happening. And you're really good at that with a stick and a soft hand.
You know, I try.
You managed to get that done. You know, having done other weddings for other
planners.
People who didn't use you, I can see the differences. And sometimes I just stand back and I go, uh-oh, this part's not going to be good.
You know, especially like brides, you know, oh, I'm just going to have my friends, you know, help me with the wedding. That never goes well. Yeah. Never.
What's the most difficult part? Is it the clients? Or can it be the clients?
It can be the clients. Sometimes it's, you know, managing expectations. You know, some people have an idea, you know, they have a $1 million wedding in their head of what it's supposed to look like, but they only have $100,000 wedding.
That's all they have?
That's it?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, like, there's a big difference between $100,000 and $1 million.
Now you realize why Lola wasn't your wedding planner.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That at all.
No, now I'm thinking I have two daughters that we have to get married.
Oh, man. I'd just be setting up a savings.
Good like, thing the wife is an attorney.
We're buying them a ladder. They're eloping.
There's people who...
But yeah, there's people
that without,
they expect a $1 million wedding versus what they can afford.
Right.
Yeah. That's the part is my hardest.
But part of your gig must be to say, okay, let's look at your budget and this is what you can afford.
Yes.
Like,
but sometimes
I'm sorry,
they,
you can't have an officiant.
You can't afford one.
You can't afford an officiant.
Can't
but
afford
if you
Randy.
Feed him, he'll come. Yes. There you go.
I'm gonna start eating a lot more. So Bridezillas.
I have not had very many bridezillas, believe it or not.
You said not very many, but you've had a couple.
I've had a couple, and I can count them on one hand.
Okay, that's in your business, that's pretty good. For
yes,
as long as you've been doing this.
For as long as I've been doing this, I am very blessed.
Weird, because I can count mine on one finger.
Oh,
it's this finger.
It ended up being that finger.
Let me see. One.
Oh my God,
well, one of the great things is Lola and I get to have conversations throughout the process, because I'm generally meeting the couple months and months before we get started.
Exactly.
And so we talk a lot during the process about, oh my God,
what is happening here?
What is happening here? Yeah.
But most of the time it's always good. Yeah. We're super crazy about our fun couples, and Randy and I love to catch up with them and see, you know, some are having babies, they're having two, like SJ and
Blake
have two.
Some of
beautiful
them just never
kids.
Stop. they just keep having kids.
They, you know, it's really great to see where they started and where they're at now. It's
and do you feel like I do that it's really one of the, with everything else that goes on in life, and you're working a lot harder at these than I am, but it's one of the few times that you just get to be around people that are just in love.
Yes.
And they're just working towards their love story.
Absolutely. You know, we can always tell who's going to last.
Yeah. We have had some situations like at the rehearsals the day before.
Yes.
Turn very, very... And you hear stories of maybe families that don't necessarily get along well.
So that's
sometimes
the rehearsal dinner you want to go to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to see the fireworks.
That's right.
We've had everything from, or she canceled the wedding the night before, but they made up the next day. They went on with the wedding.
Really? But
oh,
they
yes.
called it off like after the rehearsal dinner, like something?
During the rehearsal. Everybody's, Lola, what are we doing? Yeah. I said, just show up.
Right, yeah.
Let them work it out.
Yeah. This is not what we're going to do tomorrow.
No. I mean, everything's paid for. Everything's done. They needed to work that out. Yes.
Have you ever had one that just didn't go?
During COVID, you know, a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. But have you ever had like a bride and groom just...
No.
No. Mm-mm. No runaway brides.
No.
Or grooms.
Thank God.
You guys keep business cards for Patrick's wife on hand to give to people if there's a point in the process.
We're full service. Lola's
full service.
Beginning to end. Yes, Andrea does high conflict divorces, and so.
Oh no, we're not going to put that out there in the universe.
No, of course not.
No, as a matter of fact,
like to hand my wife's business card out at our Christmas party every year.
Do you?
I just pick a couple of people. Like, yeah. By the way,
here you go. Here
I think in all the weddings that we've done. Every couple except one might still be together.
Yeah.
That's for everybody who's thinking about getting married. Mm-hmm. Your odds, if you're working with Lola, are pretty strong.
Yeah. I know exactly what couple you're talking about. That was unfortunate. I thought that would definitely last, but you know.
We've had some funny situations where within the ceremony, there's stuff that happens.
And yes.
we were doing a ceremony, and the bride was Jewish. Not terribly serious about it throughout her life, as we found out, mm-hmm. because I started the ceremony in keeping with her Jewish faith, and everybody started laughing. So we put the glass down to break, and the groom doesn't hit it dead on. He hits it off to the side.
So
it shoots flying. Like 50 feet away.
Oh my
so
God.
As I'm talking, I'm running after
after
the glass. Then
it happens.
We had the one at the Air Museum in front of a couple of hundred people, and all of a sudden I look down on the platform, and we're doing that ceremony with the glass.
They forgot.
There's no glass.
I know.
On the platform, and I know that this is coming up in a moment, so I'm kind of like looking out at Lola. Lola's looking at me, and I'm going, I see Lola
running
sicker than a dog, as it turned out.
Because
the next day you could barely move. Lola's running across the tarmac, you know, in the heat to go find the glass.
Well, I had been with the bridal team earlier, and my team was setting up, and they forgot.
They forgot to.
And I'm like, I see he's, you know, running or in tune with each other. He's looking at me, and I'm like, shit. Sorry. And I'm just running as fast as I can, and I get it, and I run up, and boom.
One of the weddings we did, and we encourage people no longer to use candles as part of the ceremony because we get wind here sometime. The one that we did that we were talking about with the heavy winds, we actually just kind of mimed the whole candle part of the ceremony because we couldn't keep them lit. So we just kind of turned our backs and acted like we were lighting and blowing the candles.
We've had lots of just, you know what, all in all, like these situations, these weddings, these events, just we have so many memories and so many fun things, you know, to talk about. I mean, I could talk for hours about all the things that have happened at weddings, good and bad.
What are some of your favorite memories?
Oh, let's see. Good or bad?
Good,
yes.
Okay. Yeah, what are some of your favorite memories?
Oh, my goodness, favorite memories. Now you put me on spot, on the spot.
It's my job as a podcast.
I know,
thank you very much.
It's
like 60 minutes.
60 minutes of podcast.
Oh, yeah. I have, yes. One of my favorite moments. So last year I did a wedding at Bighorn, and this couple called me, and I went to go meet with them. Second marriage for both of them. They're older. And she was explaining to me how they met. They met through a matchmaker. And the match almost didn't happen because he became ill with prostate cancer. And so the matchmaker said, I believe so much that you two belong together that I want you to meet. Like, just, and she said to the matchmaker, you know, I would like to just, you know, I know he's going through a lot. She didn't share what was happening. She said that he was having, you know, some serious health issues. And she told the matchmaker, please let him know that if he needs somebody, a friend, during this. So anyways, they got in contact with each other. He flew to meet her. He's a pilot. And he was in treatment. He had chemo. No eyebrows, no hair, no nothing. Met her. And their love story just began. And when we did this wedding, he was in remission. And when he cried at that altar with her, that he was in stage four. She healed him, literally. And when he says, he was sobbing. He says, "I didn't think I would be here."
Oh my gosh!
And, I mean, there was not a dry eye in the house. It was absolutely amazing. And some of his friends were the Blue Angels, and it was the most moving wedding I've ever done. I mean, it was unbelievable.
That's remarkable.
Yes. So, and they're happy. He's doing well.
That's very cool.
You know, got a full set of hair now. He looks amazing. It just, what a story.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So what did you, I mean, we had I know I had a few, so you mm-hmm. must have had a lot. During the pandemic, mm-hmm. the number of ceremonies that got canceled.
Yes.
How did you get through that?
Couple
of years.
Well, what became really popular when they did allow people, you know, the small groups, so the micro weddings were the thing to do. So outdoors, 50 less people, they still got married.
Bride and groom had to have the honeymoon 6 feet apart.
Yes, we had everybody tested, you know, all that good stuff. That's how we survived. Ugh. Yeah. It was rough.
Clearly none of the big events or anything that you were putting on.
No.
How did you develop the relationship with Lulu's?
Oh, that I've been with Lulu's for a really long time.
Yeah.
So Michael Scheimer, who used to be the general manager at Quisto, he used to work for Lulu's. He was the executive director for the organization. And he, you know, used to work for Morton's. I met him. He says, "Lola, why don't you, you know, it was early when I came into the desert and brought me on board, and we've been working together ever since. Michael's not there anymore, but I've been working with Jerry, John, and Francisco, who's an absolutely amazing catering director for Lulu's."
Any other big names you're getting ready to marry that you can't give us the name?
Not at the moment.
Ooh. Have you done some big celebrity weddings out here? Have you?
A couple.
Yeah.
Yes. But, no, I can't.
No, of course you can't. But you can. Like, you could. No, I'm kidding.
You'll literally be the only one listening to this.
That is not true.
That
is not true.
I'm going to share this with all my friends.
Well, there we go.
We're
set.
Well, one of the things I forgot to mention to you earlier was, I think it's kind of key in how I got started. You know, my dad used to own a Sizzler, and I used to go to work with my dad, and he used to do catering.
Oh, you can eat shrimp.
Yes.
Oh, I miss that.
Cheese bread.
Oh, yeah.
Salad bar, all that good. So as a little kid, I used to go to work with my dad all the time, and he started doing, you know, people used to ask him to do catering, and then I started in catering, going to catering gigs with him. So when I graduated high school, I did my own catering. So it started with catering first. So I would cook for people. Then they would ask me, "Oh, Lola, can you do the flowers? Lola, can you plan this? Can you make the menus? Can you get the rentals for me? Can you?" And then finally, I just said, "No more. I'm just going to plan." Because cooking and doing all the other stuff, that's a lot of work.
But I hear you make a mean empanada.
I do. It's my grandmother's recipe from Panama.
All right.
Feels like you two should be doing something together, food related. Not officiant related, but food related.
I used to make them for the former mayor, Bloomberg.
Really?
Yes.
In New York.
I was on page six.
Ooh.
Yes.
Wow.
And also the borough president of Brooklyn, Mr. Marty Markowitz. I used to make them for him all the time as well.
When you go back, you have a good time.
I do.
Yeah, I've been watching some of it.
I love New York. My family's there. My friends are there. And it's just a great time for me to get out of the desert.
Yeah,
of course. 115 degree heat.
But it looks like when you get there, you've got things planned.
I do.
You're doing some fun stuff.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we need to do a remote wedding back there.
We should.
And a remote podcast.
Absolutely.
Maybe it'll be mine.
What?
I don't know.
Every time she posts something on social and it'll say something like, yay, or something like that, I just immediately send her a note. What's the date? when am I officiating your wedding?
Oh, my gosh. Randy will be my first phone call, I promise.
Where can people find you if they need an event planned?
Here in the desert.
Right.
LolaKent.com.
LolaKent.com. If you're planning a party, a wedding, celebrating a divorce,
celebration of life, anything.
Yeah, we need to be doing some recommitment ceremonies for people. It's about time.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's start marketing that.
I'm on it. Let's do it.
Randy's ready to bill him twice.
I am.
Married How long you five have you and your ago? Wife been married?
We have been married. It will be 8 years coming up in March.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. So when you get to 10, call me, and then we'll do a vow renewal.
Hopefully. They're holding pretty strong so far. Yeah. Yeah, we're doing really good. We actually have talked about doing that because, like, the ceremony for our wedding and for most part, like, the dinner part was mm-hmm. really terrific. But we always felt like we only had half a wedding because we really didn't get very much of the reception part because mm-hmm. it was, and it's a big disappointment to both of us. So mm-hmm. we probably will do something like a 10th anniversary party. We don't need to renew the vows, but okay. we want to do the part where
the fun
people
part.
Get to dance yeah. and have a good time.
One of the best parties, and the first time that I was ever inside a hangar at the Air Museum, was one you put on for yourself.
Oh my goodness, my birthday party.
Yes. You put on your own birthday party at the Air Museum. But there were a lot of people there.
There was a lot of people
that
there.
That was so much fun.
Well, thank as one you. Would when one's an event planner. I wouldn't farm out my birthday party because no one's going to do it as well.
No. Thank you.
All right. Once again, our thanks, Lola Kent. Thank you. And LolaKent.com.
Yes. Thank you. And both Randy and Patrick for having me.
Oh, thanks we're delighted. Here. Our thanks to the team here at Skip's Little Bar. I'm Patrick Evans. This is Randy Florence. Thanks to John McMullen.
Yay.
A great job. We will be back again next week with another great episode of Big Conversations Little Bar.
Big Conversations, Little Bar is a production of the Mutual Broadcasting System. This podcast is available in audio and video format. Visit our website at www.bigconversationslittlebar.com. New episodes are released every Monday.
Athletes and dreamers, stars of the screen, leaders and builders, and all in between. Little bar at big conversations, little